Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 22, if you would, with me. Matthew chapter 22. Last Sunday night, I preached a message on why we don't keep the Sabbath, and it was a little bit more lengthy than I was hoping for it to be, but sometimes, I guess, as pastors, that happens. But it was a lot of details, and there was a lot of things that I wanted a lot of information that I wanted to bring forward from the Scripture, and so, you know, it was a little bit longer. But if you missed it, I'm going to re-preach it here for you in the next five words, okay? We can sum it up in five words. Those that were here last Sunday night, they're thinking, well, we didn't know that, you know. It took you about an hour to do it last time around. But here's the message in five words. We looked at, I'm not getting to the five words yet. I'm just still talking about it, okay? But we looked at the teachings of Jesus. We looked at the teachings of Paul. We looked at the teachings of Peter. We looked at Moses. And we're looking at the law quite a bit. And looking at the New Testament church and the grace that we have. But here's the five words, okay? You ready for it? Love God and love others. Love God and love others. The Bible tells us here in our text that on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love God and love others. So Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 40 will be our text here this morning. Matthew 22 and verses 36 to 40. And we'll go ahead and read that. The Bible says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Notice who's asking the question in the verse above. We have a lawyer coming to him, someone who studies not the law like we think about it, but studies the law of Moses, okay? So which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." You see, the Pharisees were all about keeping the law. And I'll tell you, keeping the law is not a bad thing, okay? I don't want you to get the wrong impression from the message. And we'll see that again even later. But the Pharisees were all about keeping the law so that they could keep score. They were keeping the law so that they could measure, you know, how good of a person they were. I was reading understand that they had a document. They had documented that there were 613 commandments in the law. So not just the Ten Commandments, quite a few more laws, or quite a few more commandments in the law. 248 of them, positive. 365 of them, negative. And so it would be obviously impossible for everyone to completely understand all the laws and completely be able to follow every single law. I mean, that's impossible. We know that to be true just with the Ten Commandments, but for sure with, you know, the 600 plus commandments in the law. So no one could ever fully keep them. No one could. And so they, understanding this, divided them into some laws that were heavier, or you could say more important, and some laws that were not quite so important, lighter laws. And so they had laws that you could kind of major in. These are the major laws that you want to focus on. And these ones, you know, if they fall by the wayside, not quite as important. In essence, they were keeping the law, or attempting to keep the law, so that they could be good and look good according to their own self-righteousness. They were about being righteous. And again, it's not a bad thing, but it's bad to be self-righteous. It's not a good thing to be self-righteous and to rely on your self-righteousness and to have that as your focus. Because again, where's your focus? It's in the wrong place, isn't it? It's all about, well, you know, I've kept the commandments. I've kept all the commandments. Well, have you? But that was their goal. Not a bad goal, but the purpose behind it, the reasoning behind it, as it has become a religion. It had become a religion. You see, there's hundreds, maybe even thousands of religions. And religions is a way for man to get to God. Man to even work their way to God. At the core of almost every religion, you will see a system of rules, and if you keep those rules, then you're good. And you have good works. And if you have good works, maybe if your good works will outweigh your bad works, you know, God will let you into heaven. That's at the core of religion after religion after religion after religion, and we know there's so many. Good works. The law of Moses had become this for the Pharisees. So they come to Jesus and ask, what's the great commandment in the law? And the person who's asking the question could have been sincere. But Jesus gives a wonderful answer to him. And he's giving the answer for him, but also for everyone that listens. Amen? And he's giving the answer for us here this morning as well. What's the greatest commandment? You can focus on, you know, the major ones. You can focus and say, well, I'm going to focus on the major ones. I'm going to make sure and try to keep those, but you know you can't keep them. So what should we really be focusing on? Loving God and loving others. Loving God and loving others. First of all, this morning, love God. Our text says, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment. This is the great commandment. And it's not a commandment of, you know, I want you to have good feelings toward me. It's not that type of love. But true love not only has good feelings, but is backed up with action, isn't it? True love is a giving love. It's a generous love, isn't it? True love is one that doesn't just have, you know, well, I have nice feelings and that's where it stops. But one that gives of their heart. He says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. He says, I want you to love me with your being. with what makes up you. You understand that this, what you see in front of you this morning, and you look down, what you see, that's not you. That's what we look at, but that's not you. Because this shell also can sit in a casket up here, can't it? And that's not you. That is your vessel, so to speak. But what makes up you is your heart and your soul and your mind, right? That's you. And so he says, love God, love me with all of you. It's a generous love, isn't it? He says, I want you to love me and I want you to love God. And this is the great commandment, by the way. That's the one. You want to pick one to keep? You want to keep one to focus on? Love God. Love God. I only got 2 points this morning, so we should be quick. We'll see. I don't know. That's number one. Love God. You say, well, I've been trying to keep the law. I've been trying to keep the rules. I've been trying to do what's right. I've been trying to keep those major ones. That's good. But that should not be the focus of our lives. Keeping the rules, keeping the commandments. That was the Pharisees, that's something they really struggled with. And Christ understood this. He says, love God love God. Love God. Say, I'm a good person. Love God. James 2 verse 10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of it all. So we understand that we can't keep the law. And you say, well, I'm going to major on the major laws. But we can't even keep the Ten Commandments because we're all liars. And we've all, for sure, that's the easiest one to talk about, but we've all lied, right? For sure, we've all lied. We can't keep the law. You know, the Bible says even liars shall have their place that burneth with fire and brimstone, right? He says, he lists a bunch of sins and it's a lot of bad ones and then liars. Well, that's a major one, isn't it? It's part of the Ten Commandments, but yet we find ourselves being liars. We have not always told the truth in our life. Not with our actions, not with our speech, not with our motives. And so here we find ourselves not keeping the law in one point, and probably a lot more points, right? We can't keep the law. We can't keep the law. The law was not there to be kept. We can't keep it. I mean, we want to do good. We want to keep the rule, sure. But he says, that's not the point. Stop focusing your life on the rules. The rules are not the most important thing. Let me give you the important thing this morning, Jesus says. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Romans 3:23 tells us we haven't kept the law, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all come short of keeping the law. You see, God is a perfect God. God is holy. And God cannot allow sin into his presence because he is a holy God. It's a characteristic of God. And say, I want to go to heaven. I'm going to be good. You'll never be good enough. You'll always fall short of the glory of God because we're all sinners. So the law doesn't save us, does it? In fact, it condemns us. It condemns us. Romans 3:27 says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Romans 4 verses 1 to 3 says, what shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaineth to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. You see, throughout all of human history, and even we see it in Scripture, people were not saved by the law. They're condemned by the law. Today, we are not saved by the law. We are condemned by the law. Abraham, the great patriarch, he was not saved by the law, but was condemned by the law. But how was he saved? What was counted unto him for righteousness? Not that he kept the law, not that he followed the rules, not that he was obedient always to what, you know, God had showed him. But he believed God. He believed God. And because he placed his faith in God, it was counted unto him for righteousness. The Bible tells us that there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all sinners, right? There's none righteous. There's no one that can be righteous in and of themselves. The only way to be righteous, and we see it, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. God is the only one who is truly righteous. God is the only one who can impart righteousness on us. And it's because of a relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Because of a relationship that we have with God. It's counted unto him for righteousness. Galatians 3 and verse 11 says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. three times in the scripture, you'll see that phrase basically word for word, and you'll see other variations of that quite a bit more. But the just shall live by faith. How can we be just? Not through works. Not through self-right, not through keeping the rules, not through keeping the law, but the just shall live by faith. The way to be just is to keep our focus not on the rules, not on ourselves, not on other people, but our focus needs to be on loving God, looking to Him. The just shall live by faith. We are saved just like Abraham was saved, through faith. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Turn there because we're going to look at another scripture there. And these are great verses, especially with dealing with works. How is one saved? How does one come to Christ? How does one become righteous? How does one go to heaven? Not through keeping the rules. Not through keeping the law. Not from, you know, doing our best and what we would call good works. And we're going to talk about it more. But that's not what takes us to heaven. Not by works of righteousness. The Bible says, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, very familiar verses for us. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Not of works. Whoa. Lest any man should boast. And the nature of man is that we would boast. We would boast. And we see it time and time again through the keeping of the law, of good works, in religion. And we do find ourselves boasting. But that's not how someone is saved. For by grace, God imparts good on us that we do not deserve. For by grace are we saved through faith, just like Abraham was. For by grace are we saved through faith. Faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ. Not of works, it's a gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God. And very simply, we could complicate it, and religion complicates it. We could complicate how to be saved, but it's so simple. The Bible says a child can understand it. A child can come to Christ. In fact, the best way to come to Christ is with childlike faith, pure faith, trusting faith. Faith that doesn't, you know, question because we're so intelligent, so many things. How to come to Christ? How can we be saved? How can we go to heaven? Very simply, we just need to admit that we've broken the law. Admit that we are sinners. Admit that we, you know, have lied. Admit that we have come short of perfect. And if that's you, and I know it's me, I'm reminded of that far too often. Then we need a Savior, don't we? We need to admit that we are sinners and that we need a Savior. And the Bible says then, just like Abraham, need to believe God. Need to believe on God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's many more scriptures we could talk about the matter, but very simply, believing God, trusting in Him for our salvation. The Bible says, believe God and cry out to Him. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, believing what? Well, that Jesus Christ was God, that He lived a perfect life, that He died on the cross for you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and just take Him at His word, trust in Him, believe on Him, saying, I know I can't go to heaven, but You say that You are the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ. So I'm going to put my faith and trust in You. I'm going to believe on You. And the Bible says if you will do that, crying out to Him, He'll save you. He'll save your soul. And I would, I need to say at this point, if you're here this morning and you have yet to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if you have yet to believe on God, you say, well, I believe that there is a God. It's a little different than that. It's believing that God died for you. Not for me, He did, but you individually, that He came to forgive your sins individually, that He came to, because He loved you so much. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. He died for your sins. And He says, would you just trust me? Would you come to me? And if you will, the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He'll forgive you. He'll take you to heaven. That's the simple gospel message. That's right down on the bottom shelf where I like to get to. Coming to Christ. Love God. He says, if you love me, love me. Love me. What's the great commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Love God. Choose to become a child of God. Maybe that's you this morning. Say, I don't think I've made that choice. I understand what you're saying, but I've never, made it personal. We've all been to a wedding, but that doesn't make you married. In order to be married, you have to be up at the front making the decision. Maybe you haven't made that decision personally yet. Maybe your family members have, but maybe that's not you yet personally. We'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can know Christ. You can come talk to me. You could come right now and make it known, and we'd have someone share with you Christ. But we'll give opportunity at the end of the service. I'll be standing in the foyer at the end of the service, after the service is all said and done. You could talk to me then. You could talk to someone else. They'd be glad to take a Bible and show you how you can know Christ. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. Choosing Christ. Choosing God. Choosing to love Him. It's a giving love. Giving of our heart, our soul, and our mind. That is the greatest commandment. Now, I don't want you to leave church and say that pastor said I don't have to do good works and that I can do whatever I want as long as I love God. So Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, let's keep reading, okay? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are not saved by good works. But once we know Christ, He begins to work in our lives and He changes us little by little, right? And as He changes us, guess what? The result will be good works. We are not saved by good works. But the result of knowing Christ, the result of loving God, the result of following Him will be obedience. Will be obedience. Now, I don't think we'll be able to, because we're still human, to become sinless without sin. There was only one person that was without sin, Jesus Christ. But I do believe as we love Him and walk with Him and spend time with Him, and as He changes us a little bit at a time, I like the song, He's still working on me, right? And He's still working on this guy here. If we're honest, we all have a lot of work that He needs to do on us, right? But as He changes us, I do believe we can have victory and we can sin less, as God keeps working, as we keep looking, as we keep following, as we keep loving Him and trusting in Him. We are saved not by good works, but unto good works, as He continues to work on us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We are not to say, well, I can do whatever I want as long as I love God. I'm saved. That's not the intent. That's not the intent. I don't think the focus should be still as a Christian on law, 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 but it should be on love, 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 love. And as we love God, and as we love God, we will walk with God, we will follow God, and guess what? God will not lead us astray. He will not lead us. And guess what? Those old things, they just kind of pass away, don't they, as you walk with God. Those old desires, you just don't desire those things anymore as you walk in the Spirit. The Bible says you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That dead man's, that flesh is dead as we walk and live in the Spirit. Let's go back to our text. We got to get our second point in here, okay? Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love God, first of all, but secondly, love others. Love God, love others. I will say, if you love God, the second law does take care of itself. Because for God so loved the world. God loves people. God loves you. God loves me. And so as we have a proper love for God, He will change our heart and we will have, let me say, we need a burning desire to love people. We need a greater love for others, a greater love for this world, a greater love for our brethren. Loving others. God has loved us so much, even in our sins, and so Christ died for us, and He would desire that we would love others, even in their sin. I keep talking about this, and because we've been looking at it on our Wednesday night Bible study, I keep referring back to it as this is a great piece of scripture and great, that Jesus sat with the publicans and sinners. And He got ridicule from the Pharisees and said, you shouldn't be sitting with the publicans and sinners, but Jesus Christ has said that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so He tells the parable of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son to again say, I love the sinner. I love the lost. I love. And He says, when the lost come to me and trust in me, He says, there's rejoicing in heaven over the one sinner that repenteth than over the 99, just ones or righteous people, the keepers of the rules. He said, because here's the thing. In order to be saved, in order to be found, you must first be lost. You must first understand that you are lost, that you are a sinner, that you are not righteous. You say, well, I am. I've kept the law. That's self-righteousness. The Bible says that will burn up. That's wood, hay, and stubble. Only what we do for Christ lasts. Only what's done through Christ lasts. We need to love others. Christian, do you love the sinner? And I hope you take this with the proper spirit and attitude in which this is intended and given. But we need to have a greater love for others. Just like our love for Jesus Christ is seen through the way we live and the way we act and the way our actions. Love for others. Proper love for others. A love that Jesus Christ desires that we have is seen through actions. We need to stop focusing so much on the rules and our love for others. Well, you say, you know, their sin is evident. I see it. Jesus Christ looks beyond the sin and sees the person. He sees the person and said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, I understand that these are the publicans and sinners, but I'm sitting with them because I'm trying to win them. I'm trying to minister to them. I'm trying to teach them. I love them. And you know what? There's so many people that if we're not careful, we get even caught up in our society. It pushes, you know, certain agendas on us, and it disgusts us sometimes. He said, you know, stop pushing it down on me. Let me tell you a story. We're going to be done. On Saturday night, I talked with a couple men. We were fellowshipping a little bit. And I said, on Monday morning, this last Monday, I'm going to be going to a training for a company that I've worked at now for 10 years, supporting individuals with that have disabilities. And it's work that I love to do. And so I still do it from time to time. But at this Christian company, there's been changes over the last couple years that have taken place. And the changes, now they used to have a statement of faith that when I was hired at the company, I had to say that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died on the cross. And there was a great statement of faith and said that I believe this, and you would sign that you believe that. But that's now done away with. And you can kind of understand the reasons for that. In today's society, being 95%, I believe, funded, by the government, this company, okay? And so, anyways, so that is taking place. And then we understand, you know, certain agendas and so on that are really being pressured in today's society. And so we had a training. I had to do a precursor to this training was an online training, and I did not like it one bit. And so I was telling a couple gentlemen at the church, I said, I am not looking forward to this training tomorrow, but here I go. Now, I came away from the training, and in fact, though I didn't agree with everything in the training, the person training us, the instructor, was very good. I'll tell that. He was a very good instructor. And he the focus of the material, I believe, was on the right focus, okay? Not everything did I agree with, again. But I did come away with a renewed passion to respect and love my fellow man. Not that I agree with my fellow man. I mean, brothers and sisters in Christ, let's try to get agreement on something. We'll have some troubles, don't we? I mean, just painting the auditorium, you know, I think we'll have a whole lot of trouble trying to paint. You know, everyone's so attached to the pink. We love the pink. Well, maybe we'll paint it. I don't know. But, you know, we can't afford, I mean, we can't. It's hard for brothers and sisters in Christ to agree on things. But of course, I don't agree yet. And of course, even God doesn't agree with certain people, sin, right? People's lifestyle and their choices and the things they get involved with. But here's what I took away from it mostly, and it was an encouragement to me, is that, yes, this is the society we live in today. All different walks of life, all from all different places of the world, and we are all, you know, it could be. We could take it so many different ways, and there's an agenda that tries to pinpoint our way of thinking. But what does God say? We could say, well, no, that's wrong, and we could develop a wrong attitude towards the person who, by the way, God loves. And so we also need to love them. You see, Jesus Christ, God does not love sin. We know that for sure. In fact, he hates sin. He died to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us. And we should, you know, hate sin. But we need to be very careful not to hate the sinner. Because Jesus Christ does not hate them. He does not hate the individual. They are still a person. They are still a soul that need forgiveness just like you do. They are a person and a soul that needs the love of Christ. And so we are challenged like every other day in human history, just like they were here. We have the law and we have the rules. And again, good works are important. But what's the most important? Love God. Start with loving God. That's the place to start. And as you love Him, and as you walk with Him, and as you spend time with Him, God will give you a burden for others. And you'll develop a love for others. You'll develop a love for people. And we'll have to look past imperfections. But I'm so glad that Jesus Christ looked past mine and still said, I love you. In our sin, Christ loved us and died for us. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, if you haven't accepted that love, let me encourage you to accept that love. If you're here this morning, say, I'm a Christian, but it's so easy to become bitter and angry. But we need to love the person. They're not perfect, and neither are you. They have sin in their life. They just need Christ. They need Christ. Love them. Love God. Love others. Let's pray.